This is a podcast by The Straits Times.
No matter how many crappy comments I get in return, no matter how many views the video has, that 100% made it worth it. And that's why I continue to do it. Even when the content didn't perform, I was always like, if I can help one person, it's worth it.
As much as I admire all your reasons for putting your life out there, my reasons are a little bit more selfish because do I want to help people? I mean, yes, but like at the expense of my own personal information being out there, not so much, maybe.
Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of The Usual Place. I'm your host, Natasha, and today I want to get into why we're so invested in the lives of strangers, or is it just a case of more people are using social media as a tool where we overshare? Now, my three guests have some experience in putting themselves out on platforms such as TikTok and Twitch. Candice, Sean, JC, I have so many questions. But before we get into it, I want you to tell me what is the most personal thing you guys have ever shared on your social media accounts. So Candice, maybe we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think I share a lot of personal things all the time, but I think the one that was the most personal to me was last year I flew to the UK to go through the process of egg freezing, which is only a new topic here in Singapore, filmed a lot of the process and put all of those, that whole 2 week period of content online. So it was a very physically demanding, emotionally demanding and financially demanding thing. And so I felt very exposed sharing that kind of content online.
Okay. And I'll get into the why you decided to do that a bit later, because that is really, I mean, already it's invasive to do it on your own, right?
Yeah.
Then you're like filming it. But before we get to that, Sean, what about you? What's the most personal thing you have said?
For me, I actually came out to my grandmother that I actually like guys, and I filmed the whole process because I was ready to enter into a relationship, and I really found someone that is was worth it for me to put myself out there and to show that I'm serious about this. But in the end, we didn't get together, but it's okay. And I didn't realize that there's so many people showing support, and it's a quite scary journey, I would say.
And what about you, JC? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Right. So actually, I think you should have started with me because you put my story to shame.
Right. Okay, it's just like a climax and you're like, oh, okay, yeah. We're not. Okay, okay.
So I was just racking my brain here. What's so interesting about my story? But so I stream on Twitch and usually our interactions are live. So you don't get to take back whatever you've said. And I think the most personal thing that I've shared would be my upbringing. So for me, I think my story with my parents, the experience that I went through, the trauma and everything, I think it's really personal. And it was difficult for me to share with my audience, especially when I'm live on the spot. So yeah, I think that's the most personal thing.
But I think it was good for you to be the last one to introduce yourself, because then I can ask you, because you're streaming live, why did you think about talking about that?
I actually, you know, I haven't actually thought about why, but the topic came naturally. And usually with live streaming, I think I will take whatever the audience throw to me, it's a good content coming from them. And you know that like, oh, this is what my audience want to hear. And I think I accidentally mentioned my story and then it really just took off from there. People start asking more questions and I just felt like I had to answer them. So it turned out to be a quite interesting content idea that was not planned at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll come back to the feedback in a minute, but for you, both of you, it's a bit different because then you guys make a conscious decision, right? So for you, Sean, you like had to think about like, oh, I'm going to make this video, and then Candice with your content, because you talk a lot about dating beyond the egg freezing as well. You talk about who you date or how you do it. That's a conscious decision. So I want to ask you guys, like, why put so much of your lives on social media? Yeah, maybe Candice, you want to go ahead first?
Yeah, for me, it kind of just happened very organically. I mean, I feel like I'll tell pretty much anybody pretty much anything. And I was always very transparent with my friends. And then this thing, TikTok, came along and I was like, well, let me try it. And then I would make one video and then I would tell another story. And like you're saying, JC, like, you start to see which content resonates and which content I like making the most. And so it kind of just happened very naturally. And then you're right on the dating front. I actually started making content about dating to make the dating experience more enjoyable for myself. I feel like there's a lot of conversation right now about how people are super tired of dating apps and there's constant swiping, all this kind of stuff.
For sure, for sure.
But it's, in a way, if you're a single person, it's a bit of a necessary, unnecessary evil. So I said to myself, how can I do it in a way that makes it more fun for me? I know, why don't I make a whole series out of it?
Yeah.
And it was the first time that I'd kind of intentionally put a bit of structure to my videos, because I always just talk about whatever experience or thought has kind of popped into my head at that time. Whereas I sort of said, okay, I'm going to do 10 dating apps in 10 weeks and I'm going to talk about the experience and I'm even going to talk about the dates that I go on without telling the guys that I'm making videos about them. So it kind of just happened very naturally. And then the content started to resonate with people. And then I was like, oh, I'll make more videos. And it kind of happened from there. So it was never this sort of intentional, I want to tell the internet about myself. Yeah. And it became more of a, what story do I want to tell today? And what's resonating with audiences?
Okay. And what about you, Sean, as well? Does any of what Candice said like resonate with you?
I totally agree with Candice that she said about intention. For me, when I first started doing TikTok, it was just to try out this new platform because I was in a generation that didn't have TikTok, right? So I was trying to figure out videos and all that. I did a video. My very first viral video was when I was, it was after a date with the guy that I really liked. And it was at Bencoolen MRT station and it didn't look very fantastic, right? So I just took a TikTok video and my reflection in the MRT, you know, and I just show my outfit a little bit. And I just tell people that, hey, actually, I'm starting to like this guy. And people were like, but I didn't say it was a guy because I was still in the closet, right? Yeah. So I said, I'm starting to like someone. And I had to be so careful about it. Yeah. And I felt like, hey, how come loving someone is something so so hidden, you know? It doesn't have to be so hidden. And I felt very torn between being free to love someone and at the same time afraid to let people know that I like a guy, right? Yeah. So I had a journey from then on and I started to come out by doing, the gender reveal, the confetti.
Yeah.
I bought the blue color confetti. I was like, so my date review, gender review for my date, and I just popped the blue confetti and everyone just went crazy.
Were you getting comments before then where people were sort of starting to suspect?
Yeah, some people are starting to suspect. Mm-hmm. Some people are saying, which girl? And I'm like, deep down, I'm like, it's not a girl.
Ah, okay. Yeah, but you wouldn't reply to those comments?
I won't, yeah. And I won't reply to comments that are trying to ask for the gender. Yeah.
Right. Mm. So what made you decide to then reveal the gender?
I was very serious about him and I do want to meet him for a third time and so on. I really thought about his character and I really thought that he's a partner that I would like to have as a life partner. So that was the reason why I wanted to come out, you know, I think when you really love something, it's hard to keep it hidden, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like good food as well, like the good prata or bak chor mee, right? Yeah. So I just can't keep it hidden.
It's a hidden gem.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. And JC, what about you? Like, you know, when you, because you were a gaming streamer, right? Gamer is what I mean.
Yes.
So, you know what I mean. To me, when you're doing that, I don't understand the part where the personal part comes in. But what was your train of thought when you, you know, decide to, you know, get personal with your viewers?
I think for myself, I've always wanted to not have this barrier whereby like, you know, you are a viewer, I am a streamer. Like there's no pedestal right here. So we're all on equal ground. So I always like the personal touch in my content. And I think eventually, you know, people want to know about your personality, not just watch your games, because anyone can play games. Anyone can stream their games. And what makes a streamer stand out is possibly to add a bit of your personality into your games, into your content. So that's when I start to entertain more personal questions from my chat. And eventually it just got more and more personal. So I got to share a lot more stuff. But yeah, there's definitely a boundary there.
So controversial statement, but you guys are using your lives for content? Is that a bad thing? Is that a good thing? What's your take? Or should I not even ask that question?
No, I think you should ask because I really want to know.
Like likes, is it?
Yeah. Hmm. Like, because to me, it's you. Why not just tell your friends and family, right? It's where what's your thought process when you think about like, okay, today I'm going to make this piece of content and I'm going to share it. Yeah.
I mean, for me, I am telling my friends and family and I'm also telling social media. Like for me, it's just it's another outlet to express myself. It really is an outlet for creative expression. I like the idea, you know, I was always a theater kid. So there's an element of performance in it. Even though I'm not performing when I record my videos, I'm still trying to tell an interesting story that's going to capture attention. And the other thing is, especially when I'm sharing really personal things like the egg freezing or even my experience dating, if I can help one person, it's 100% worth it to me. And so again, going back to the egg freezing story, I posted my first video saying, attention world, I'm going through this. And I got a DM from someone, similar age, really personal message saying, I've been struggling whether to do it or not. I'm single. I'm this age. I'm this, you know, socioeconomic status, da, da, da. Thank you for sharing your experience because it's given me some confidence and insight into doing it. And I literally looked at my phone when I got that message and I said, this is why I did it. No matter how many crappy comments I get in return, no matter how many views the video has, that 100% made it worth it. And that's why I continue to do it. Even when the content didn't perform, I was always like, if I can help one person, it's worth it.
And I can resonate with that because like recently I wrote a column about losing weight. And when you write a column, you kind of want to get really personal in order for it to have some kind of impact. But I sat on it for a year, almost a year before I got it published. I mean, it went through, you know, I had to take it to an editor and everything. But the day it came out, I just like flipped my phone and then I was like, okay, I'm not going to look at it. But interestingly, and that was my purpose, reason for wanting to do it. If one person saw it, because I was teased badly as a kid, you know, growing up and everything. And I was like, okay, actually you can lose the weight, but the shame still stays with you after that, right? And I was like, okay, if there's one person who will read this and feel the same as me and feel like, you know, it will be okay, then I would have helped them. So I kind of understand where you're coming from. But unlike you guys, it took me a long time. So I was like, okay. Because there were a lot of personal details that I added in and maybe I didn't want to make my bullies actually feel bad. It was a weird feeling. So I don't know.
Yeah.
So I wanted to find
out. And I recognize
out.
You don't want to shame other people in the process, right? You don't want to shame people who don't come out on the internet, right? But I do think it's important to have, and that's one thing I would always say is a really positive thing about TikTok is I think it's a real democratization of content. I am seeing, you know, a famous celebrity in the US and then I'm seeing someone from a low socioeconomic status on the other side of the world. And there's an element of best content wins. So you get a lot of diversity, but I get a lot of diversity of ideas and people and content. And that's what I really, what I find really enjoyable about TikTok. Whereas other platforms, it's much more about who do you follow and therefore what is the content you're choosing to opt in to receive versus the content that you're just, the algorithm is saying, hey, take a look at this today. But I think you, especially Sean, like you are really brave, right? Because tell me, you said earlier about something about your, you know, coming out to your grandmother. That was the story. So is that the first video you posted?
The first coming out video, I think the second one. After the gender reveal.
Did your family not know at all?
Actually, I actually felt very similar to Candice because she said that she tells her friends and family. I actually came out to my friends and family first. I believe that as an Asian child, it's important to give respect to the family, right?
Okay.
So, but I actually came out to my friends first. And the funny thing is that they are from church. And that is so controversial, right?
Yeah.
And I thought like, okay, if I tell my friend, they're going to send me to hell. But they didn't. They didn't. Okay. And I actually almost took my life. I was really, I was having a lot of self-hate, right? As a Christian and also someone who struggles with same gender attraction. So it was very tough and I came out to a friend from church and his name is Stefan and we are still best friends.
Love to you, Stefan.
Yeah, Stefan's amazing. And so I came out to my mom after that, my dad first, before the other family members. My grandmother was the last person. And because, you know, in every Asian family, you would love to bring your partner back to meet your grandparents because you love your grandparents the most, right? So that was the reason why I came out to my grandmother. But when things went downhill, when he rejected me, the guy rejected me, I was like, there's no reason for me to be on TikTok anymore, right? Yeah. I was planning like, okay, I can make like couple TikTok content, right? Mm. But I was like, okay, now I'm single again, struggling with loneliness and all these other struggles, right? And I went MIA for like 3 years.
Yeah.
And I just came back to asking myself, what is the true identity? What's my true identity? And I found answers along the way. Even struggling up to today, right? But I became so much stronger. And that's the reason why I came back on Easter Sunday, is to really tell people that after all this while, I was trying to find a perfect man and I found him, and his name is Jesus, right? So that is the kind of content I want to put out there, more of like my story.
You wanted to be known for your faith versus like everything else. Right. And it's funny because I remember seeing Sean like 3 years ago, and then he did, I think that's the weird way the algorithm works. You know, I didn't see him after that. And then, you know, even with Candace, I don't follow you on TikTok, right? But at that time, but then, you know, your videos kind of came up a lot. And then I remember you. And then for some reason, Sean just came up a couple of months ago. And I was like, wait, I remember this guy. And I never saw his content again. But it's back. Like, okay. Yeah. But I want to ask you guys, is it weird that people like me, because I'm a lurker. Okay, I have to confess. I'm a lurker on TikTok. I don't make any content. I just like scroll. And then I see you guys. And I mean, JC, sorry, I don't do Twitch.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. But I'm sure do you find it weird that people like me know about your life? Is it strange that we're holding on to this little bit of information? That, yeah, I don't know. JC, what do you think?
Right. So as much as I admire all your reasons for putting your life out there, my reasons are a little bit more selfish because do I want to help people? I mean, yes, but like at the expense of my own personal information being out there, not so much maybe. So I think for my reasons, like what I always tell my audience, you guys are my therapist.
Okay.
Yeah, so I feel like whether it's Twitch or Instagram or TikTok, it's an avenue for me to share about my troubles, my struggles, and it helped me in many, many ways so that, you know, at least I know that there might be people who are experiencing the same thing and I'm not alone. So it's reasons that are a little bit more selfish, I would say.
You're the reverse of them because they are like out there wanting to help you, but you're like, help me.
Exactly.
Help me. That's what I do.
Exactly. So I was just hearing all this stuff. I'm like, wow, that's admirable. And then I'm like, why do I want to tell them?
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of ego involved when you're holding a camera up to your face and posting content. So it's not a purely selfless approach.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious when you talk about it being therapy, are your followers then giving you advice back?
Yeah. They are.
Is it good advice?
Yeah, right.
Is it good? Like, can you give us an example of like one time or what is like rubbish advice?
I would say...
Well, what is it?
Well, you don't know if it's good advice.
I don't exactly, because the fact that I'm actually putting the question out there is precisely because I don't know what is good for me. I don't know what's good.
So you want options.
Yeah, so I want options, and I like that my audience, you know, they are a variety of people, different walks of life. And there was actually super interesting. There was actually a certified psychiatrist that was in my chat.
Wow.
Yeah, and he actually spoke to me about my issues, basically the traumas that I have, and then why am I feeling this way now? Why am I you know, projecting it right now? So he explained it to me in a really detailed message that I appreciate a lot.
Nice.
And yeah,
you got free advice.
Yeah,
free advice. You know how much people pay for this?
Exactly. You know, it's $500 per session and I got it free.
Nice.
Yeah, so I just thought that like, hey, you know, this avenue is really good for me to like get opinions, get options, and maybe even get help.
Yeah,
so it's not so selfless as in I want to help someone, but do I want to help them? Yes, I'm sure, and I hope that, you know, whatever that I share, if you're experiencing like similar issues, you know, you can take advice from the many other audience out there as well. So I guess in a way it's killing how many birds? A few birds.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
like multiple benefits.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But how do you guys decide like what is healthy sharing versus oversharing or getting too personal? Like, do you let your audience tell you that and then you curate it for the next video? Or what's your benchmark or line for it?
I mean, I think the way the haters work is they'll always tell you when they don't like something. They don't necessarily tell you when they like something. So, and also I kind of somewhat reject this concept of oversharing because I feel like it's in the eye of the beholder. If it's natural for me to share, I don't feel like I'm oversharing.
Yeah.
If it's, there are plenty of people who like to consume that content, and then there are other people who don't want to consume that content, but it's very subjective in that sense. So I don't subscribe, you know, I've seen comments before of, oh, Candace, she overshares. And I'm like, well, that's just because you don't want this type of content, which is fine. And I don't try to connect with or speak to all types of audiences. I just ask that even if I'm not your cup of tea, you know, you don't slander me in return, right? Just keep your opinions to yourself or give me feedback in a constructive way, not in a just leave Singapore kind of comment or like, I hate you kind of comment.
Yeah. And we'll get back to the haters because it's a very important topic. But Sean, JC, was there anything you wanted to, you know, say about this line of sharing? Like, is there a personal thing that you will not do when you post about yourself on social media or when you're like streaming?
You want to go first?
Okay.
Yeah.
I think for me, when I came back to talk about that I was actually a Christian, it was tough because these are two different opposing parties, right? They are always like out to fight each other. And here I am in the sandwich in between, right? There are comments that are very negative, hateful at times. And I was prepared for it, actually. Yeah. And I didn't want to come back on TikTok. I didn't need to come back on TikTok. Actually, I'm an introvert, yeah. I was happily living my quiet life, you know, but I really felt the mission where when I was being saved for my mental health, right, the depression and everything, I know that there are people out there who are like me who needs to hear my story because nobody's talking about this, having to juggle faith and their sexuality, who's my identity, you know, and all that. So I am prepared for that. And also, I saw a lot of good... good examples of how people reach out to me in DMs and they actually come out to me, but without, and I told them that this is a safe space. I will not expose who they are and you can just share with me and I will just talk to you. I think back then, 3 years ago, I wouldn't be like that. 3 years ago, I was like a bit more like Candace and I was getting advice of what should I do on a date with a guy because I never really dated a guy, you know, So it's very different.
Yeah. So you're watching her content.
Yeah.
To get advice.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, but interesting that you guys mentioned the haters. I mean, we might as well dive into it, right? Like, when you get hateful comments, why not just not do it? Because sometimes I see comments and they're really, really mean. And I'm like, oh, this is so not worth it for the creator. I feel bad for the creator because they're putting out so much of themselves online. Yeah. And it's like, you know, guys, you don't really have to do this. So, I mean, what do you have to say about that? Like, why not just quit social media altogether and just enjoy it and through others?
Yeah. I mean, I know I get a lot on TikTok. Do you get it a lot on Twitch?
Twitch, yeah.
I think I'm too small to get hate comments.
Oh, I see. No, I'm sure there's some other lurkers who might.
No, I'm very, I know I'm not, you know, as big as like what people call an influencer out there. So I don't think I get a lot of hateful comments, and it was quite easy to deal with because most of my comments are like just troll comments. Yeah, and you can brush them off really easy. Yeah, it doesn't really affect me at all. And if it becomes hateful, then it becomes funny for me. I can't take it seriously. I don't know.
Okay.
That's good.
Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, but has anyone crossed the line with you? Because we were talking and you said that, you know, you kind of like revealed some personal information and then, you know, the person like came by your place and everything, right?
So I think that was more relevant to the previous question as to what I would not share. Yeah, like what's where's the line? I think I wouldn't be comfortable in sharing things like where I work, where I used to go to school, or like just information as to where my locations are. Like my residential address and all that. Because I think I've personally experienced certain type of stalking behavior that I do not appreciate at all. Mm. Yeah, I just found it quite... well, there's one thing to be, you know, disrespected online, and then there's another one that, like, you're disrespected here. Mm. Like, you're not respecting my personal boundary, right? Mm. Yeah, so I think that's where I draw the line.
Yeah, but even that stalking incident didn't make you want to quit streaming at all, right? Mm. Or you're just like, okay, I know how to protect myself better after this.
Yeah, I just called the police.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Singapore is quite safe. Yeah, but if I were somewhere else, I would definitely think twice about streaming again. Mm. But because, you know, I took it for granted, like, we're in a safe country.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think that stopped me from, you know, streaming or, you know, revealing things that I do on a weekend. But of course, you take precautions. So maybe if, let's say, I'm live right here now, I wouldn't post it now.
Mm.
Yeah. I'll wait like 2 days later, then I'll post like, oh, this is what I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah. Mm.
So what did you tell the guy who stalked you? You met him, did you? You came face to face with him.
I did.
Yeah. And then?
Interesting. Interesting, because it happened quite recently, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, not too long ago, but I think I was just really honest, and I told him that, like, you know, I, as much as I appreciate you coming and, you know, to look at what I'm doing or like, you know, to check out, you know, what's going on, I don't appreciate you lingering around the area, because it makes me very uncomfortable. It makes the people around me very uncomfortable. So I told him honestly, and I told him, like, straightforward, clear message, and I don't think he took it so well, because but to be fair, he is not exactly someone who can take criticisms, or rather I mean, strange behavior from a strange person. So yeah, I don't think he took it very well, and he actually threatened to kill himself.
Whoa.
That's heavy.
That escalated.
Yeah. It just went from this
to have
that.
Yeah.
And he just went on like, you know, I know you don't like me. I know you hate me. Da, 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 da. No one likes me. I should have died like how many years ago. Things like that. Aww. And then he just left the community.
Hmm.
So I was just like...
Oh dear. And you know, did you ever find out what happened to him?
No.
Okay.
No, he left. Yeah, so
that's also a lot of weight for you to carry, just even though it's not your responsibility.
Because I was going to ask, you know, in terms of like trauma dumping, because each of you has a very specific thing that you do, right? And then you attract, you know, with Sean, you know, do you get people also telling you their story? And sometimes with Candace, also with the dating scene, does it get too much where people just tell you the whole life story and you're like, what do I do now with this information? Like, does that ever happen for you?
For me, not directly, but maybe, sure.
Yeah.
For me, I open a can of worms, yes. But I always remind myself the mission. Always the mission, the purpose. Because the hateful comments might make me feel bad. But at the end of the day, I want to reach out to the people who are in need, right? So they do share their life story, especially the anonymous photos.
Mm.
They can share anything. And for me, right, I realized that I need to take note of the rhythms of rest for myself. My mental health as well, right? So I didn't take note of that. I was replying DMs and comments for 3 days straight, right? After Easter, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
And I was so tired.
Yeah.
I have no...
How many DMs did you get?
I have about 10, over 10.
Okay. And because you were going in a conversation with them, like it was back and forth.
Exactly.
Oh, that was what it is. Okay.
And it was continuing after each day, right? So they do share their life, and I do feel for them. But I need to remind myself that I'm not the one that would change things for them. They have to be the ones to decide.
It's like what they want to do, right?
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you guys see some point in time where you will stop doing this? Or like, you know, is there like a call time on your content? On
I smile because I've never thought about stopping. You know, there have been times, you know, exactly like Sean's saying about sort of protecting yourself in the process. What I love about what I do is that it's a pure, as I mentioned earlier, creative outlet. it's not a job where I must do it for a certain number of hours every day. So there might be a day or there might be a week or however long a period where I decide, you know what, I'm not feeling it. I'm either not feeling creative and I've got no content to put out there, or I'm not feeling my best self and I don't want to create. That's what I really enjoy about it. That freedom of what I talk about and when I talk about it. And I think that's really critical because this idea of looking after yourself is very important. I certainly don't want to do burnout. And I would say, and despite what many people think, it is not a, for me, making content, it's not a moneymaker for me today. So I have a full-time job and that sort of dual channels in my life. I have a corporate Candace and then I have Candalicious Candace. Allows me to have multiple facets of my life and gives me lots of different forms of stimulation. And that allows me to continue it for a long time. So I don't have any plans to stop it in itself, but I do have, you know, grand plans to parlay it into other sort of content creating opportunities.
Okay. And Sean, what about you?
Like, can you repeat the question again?
Yeah,
if you, I was so involved into the conversation. Thanks.
Yeah. You've got my question.
We're making me forget my question. Like, oh, what's happening now? No, I was going to ask you if you ever, you know, is there a time when you will say, okay, this is, I'm done with this. Like, yeah.
Well, you've come out of retirement. You semi-retired for 3 years and then you come out of retirement.
You kind of started and then you didn't do it for 3 years and you came back. Is there something that will make you stop creating content? Do you ever, do you think, or not for the foreseeable future?
I actually went on a date with a girl.
Well, that's great content.
Yeah, so I didn't expect to go on a date with a girl, but actually before Easter Sunday, on the Saturday, we met up again, and she told me that she can only see me as a friend. But I managed to take the rejection well, you see, and she was afraid that it would affect my posting on Easter Sunday, right? And I told her, no, I'll still post it, you know. We're still friends. But I think when my seasons change, if I manage to find a girl that I find attractive, right, and eventually marry her and to have children, it's gonna, I can't imagine it now, but I imagine that during that time, my content would change, right?
And JC, for yourself?
I don't think I actually make plans to stop creating content. I just want everything to come naturally and go naturally. So eventually, if let's say I have, I'm more committed with my life commitments, work commitments, then I don't have time to do this. Or like what Candace mentioned, you know, I'm not feeling it today. I don't feel creative. Then I'll just let it happen naturally. So not much plans to, you know, guys, today this is my last stream.
You might get a big send off, like, you know, if you want it.
Well, or if any brands want to come and give us huge brand deals, I'm sure all three of us would be delighted to take your call.
Just call me tomorrow.
Okay, that was your 2 minute, 2 second shout out. I let you have it. Okay. Wait, on that note about when you think you will end, you know, ever doing this, are you guys worried about being cancelled? Because you know, what you share is subjective, as you said, Candace. It's whether you overshare is up to it. But sometimes you might, you know, put out something and then do you guys worry, you know, that you might be cancelled? Is it still a thing in 2024 and onwards? Like, do you worry about that?
I think what's interesting about what JC does is live, there's almost more risk for her to say something in the moment. Whereas, you know, Sean and I buy much more on Instagram and and TikTok. We can pre-screen what we post. Yes, I do imagine a scenario where I say something that is not appropriate or makes an unfair judgment about someone. And I'm happy to be corrected in that. But I try in all aspects of my life, even in conversation with friends, to say content or say, you know, got my social media brain on. When I'm having coffee with a friend, I'm even conscious of the words that I'm saying there as to be not politically correct in the sense that I can't, it's not a safe space, but to be thoughtful about the impact of my words. And for me, that extends to social media. In fact, it extends even more on social media because I recognize that I'm speaking in a public forum.
And I agree because we do have a voice, you see. And now there's a responsibility that we have to take care of. There's going to be younger children watching. Who knows, yeah. right?
Mm.
Yeah, because I'm actually working in the social service, taking care of youths in the community.
Wow. Mm.
So
wow.
when they actually say some things on, you know, from TikTok, and I'm like, yep, that's from TikTok, right? And they're like, what? How do you know?
Mm.
Yeah, so I do my research just to also take care of the youths of today. But being afraid of being cancelled, that was me. And I was like, I was praying, right? I was telling God, like, I don't want to go back on TikTok. I don't have to put myself out there, get hateful comments again. I don't need that. But he gave me a heart for the people, you know. Mm. And I was like, okay, I just post on Easter Sunday. Whatever happens, I leave it up to you. I surrender. And I didn't, I cannot imagine it being very well received again as well.
Mm.
Yeah. And it was like, I think over 72K views.
Wow.
Yeah. I was very amazed. So that was one of the very encouraging things that happened. Mm.
Yeah, and on that note, it's like, do y'all have a personal stance about, well, being cancelled is one thing, but you still get, you know, comments from people who are haters, right? Like, because it's so open and so available, right? Do y'all have a personal stance on comments like, you know, racist comments or, you know, even xenophobic comments?
Yeah.
What is your stance on that?
Yeah. And I tell you my stance is not only, you know, a little bit what JC was saying earlier, it's easy to brush the negative comments off your back if you have a sense of self-confidence and and you've got self-awareness and you've got a strong community about you. But I am also conscious about the fact that other people are going to read those comments and I don't want that type of narrative to be perpetuated. So I'll give you a very tangible example that happened to me on the way over here. I posted a video about dating younger men. It's a very transparent story about what I like and what I don't like about dating them. Someone commented just one word, pedophile. Right? And so just in one quick throwaway comment, they're accusing me of being a pedophile.
Yeah.
So I immediately responded and I said, first of all, your comment is wrong. I'm talking about consenting adults of illegal age. Secondly, your throwaway comment has very serious consequences and it's illegal. Think twice before you comment. And that for me, so I had two options, right? Well, three options. One, ignore it. Two, delete it. Or three, reply. And I actively make a decision in situations like that to reply. And maybe in other situations we'll go as far as to report. Because I think, like you talk about, when we have a voice, we also have a platform. And protecting the commentary that happens on that platform is very important to me. It's not about censorship, but it's about making sure that I'm creating an environment that isn't going to harm others in the process as well.
Yeah, I'm sorry that happened to you because it must be really shocking when you see these kind of comments, right? It's like a,
It's quite jarring to me how these comments can be made so easily by people. And 95% of the time they're anonymous, which is incredibly cowardly too. And I don't have time for that. So I just wish people were a little bit more thoughtful. I have no problem if you disagree with me. I have no problem if you have a difference of opinion, but come with constructive criticism, not just offhanded comments that are trying to like acting as a slur or try to tear me down in the process. Don't come for me, that's for sure.
And Sean, what's your stance on, you know, people who, you know, don't have good comments to say to you?
I was expecting negative comments, hateful comments, and I think the challenge is, for me, that I felt the test actually was to, can I still show love to people who hate me, right?
Yeah, right.
It's not easy, to be very honest.
Right.
So, as you know, the LGBT community can be quite vocal about this, right? And they will say things like, oh, so sorry for you that you got indoctrinated at your lowest point of your life. And knowing me, right, I was an atheist. So, I know very well that I'm not brainwashed because I'm quite naughty when I was a kid. I don't even listen to authorities, you know. So I know very well what I got myself into, what I experienced. And I just replied them with, I struggled to reply them. I took a while first and I replied them by saying, I'm sorry that you have your own hurts from the church that you experienced in the past. But I would love to pray for you. Yeah. And I really did pray for them, even though they say like, oh, Christians like to say they'll pray for you, but they don't, you know.
Okay, JC, last word. Tell the haters, what do you want to tell them about being rude?
I think for me, my encounter with hate comments, I don't know, like to me, it's really easy because the platform essentially removes any hateful comment. It automatically filters it. So it's either I don't see it or the my moderators will disallow the comment.
Okay.
And eventually, if they manage to even post it on the live chat, it just goes away.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like a, you know, like a, you know, end credit kind of thing.
You're protected,
so
just like, in a way. Yeah,
just go away.
Yeah.
So it's easy for me to ignore them or even genuinely miss them. And then eventually it's just like, you know, yeah. So I don't think it affects me a lot. And I think in general, most of my content, it's quite... how to say it? It's more personal. So I don't actually share things about my opinion on something. It's more of like, okay, this is my life.
Yep.
This is what I went through. This is what I experienced. Instead of like, you know, my opinion of guys who earn lesser money than girls. You know, it's not so much of that because all these information, I actually throw the question to my audience instead because my audience is a survey group. It's got like so many different kind of people,
right?
So you never know who's on the other side of the screen. And I like to throw questions like this to them to hear what they have to say. So it doesn't turn out to be a hate comment, but rather I'll listen to what you have to say about this thing. Yeah. So I don't think I have to deal much with, you know, what Candace and Sean went through. Yeah. So fortunately for me,
you're good.
Yeah. I'm good.
It's really interesting to hear that Twitch does filter that. And I'd also want to also give a shout out to other commenters who will maybe not defend me, but disagree with the opinion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of the times, if there's a crappy comment, I don't even have to say anything because somebody else will come in with a countering perspective.
Yeah. Yes.
And then I think it's healthy dialogue in the comment section. So...
okay, on that note, everybody be kind when you're online.
Yes, please do.
Well, do you think social media has made us oversharers? Do tell me in the comment section on the ST YouTube podcast channel. And if you like what you see, subscribe and hit the notification bell and you'll get up-to-date content on what we are putting out on this channel. And if you want to listen to the podcast version of this, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or on the ST app. Now, one last thing, if you want to connect with me directly, I'm on Instagram. I'm opening up myself now to like connecting with people. Drop me a note on Instagram. I'm at theusualplace_net and I promise I will reply. I will see you at the next episode on The Usual Place.
Oh, wait, hold on, Natasha. If you're going to plug your Instagram, I think we should be allowed to plug ours
too. Yeah, for sure. Go for it. You know, go for it. Okay, I'll give you 2 seconds. Go for it,
okay.
Candace. How can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Candelicious.
Wow.
You can find me on Instagram and TikTok on at Artigraphy.
And
please don't find me. I'm happy. It's okay. I don't have to block.
On that note, thank you very much for joining us today. I'll see you at The Usual Place. Bye.
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 Send your feedback to podcast@sbh.com.sg. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or within our Straits Times app. Thanks for listening.